Ryan beginning to visit Little Bessie this Sunday afternoon, the 14th of October, 73. Channel 1 Wright and beginning a visit with Little Bessie this Sunday afternoon, the 14th of October, 73. Channel 1 Wright and beginning a visit with Little Bessie this Sunday afternoon, the 14th of October, 73. Channel 1 over and beginning a visit with Little Bessie this Sunday afternoon, the 14th of October, 73. Channel 1 over and beginning of the visit with Little Bessie this Sunday afternoon, the 14th of October, 73. Little Bessie, Faye, and me. Channel 1 over and beginning of the visit, Channel 1 right, and beginning of the visit with Little Bessie this Sunday, the 14th of October, 73.
Changing clothes. Well, they'll be back in a minute.
Boy, it looks like somebody has been eating or fixing to eat or something. All this bread up here.
Let me tell you, I'm the bread maker.
Bread eater, look like.
Yeah, I eat most of it. Others don't eat much. But I'm going to have to quit eating so much because I'm my britches. I'm outgrowing my britches. What in the world is that? Whose birthday is this?
All of you.
Don't tell me.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be darned.
Tell her this birthday.
Let me see now before I forget it. I've been trying to get Debbie. You know what these young people see, young people are worse than old people in a way.
Oh, Lord.
They got a one-track mind. You see, while y'all was up here and you're all busy and all, you see, that's all she did. She just worked along with y'all.
Well.
And since then.
It was appreciated.
Yes, but well, since then, you see, she just dropped you. I say, Debbie, when did you see Little Bessie and Nettie and them people? And she looked sort of.
Well, I saw her over Miss Faye's one day.
Yeah.
And, was it one Saturday, I believe?
Yeah, she saw you.
So I haven't been up too much because I've, was working.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to work half a day.
Half a day?
Yeah. But it's always after 4 o'clock when I get home. And by the time I get through, I got to wash, sure got to scrub, boy, I have to cook. Well, you must be finna eat.
I got some orange juice.
Oh, man, I'm so full, I made eggplant parmesan. Yeah. And now I'm gonna have to eat it by myself.
Where's your old good for nothing husband?
Is that good for nothing, man? But now you couldn't have given him a better name. He's there now watching a football game.
He'll be unconscious the rest of the day?
A football game, I am alone.
Yeah.
I don't care what I mean, it's just like it's nobody in the house.
Yeah.
But that TV.
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to get me a TV and for my room. If it's the last cold Sunday, it doesn't bother me. Because I, you know, mostly be in church or somewhere. Now, last Sunday, after Sunday school, I went to Gainesville and visit with a cousin, his cousin. She always come to see me. And she have always been so nice to me. And
it's a beautiful thing. Let me get it over here. Well, let me see it.
Well, you can see it. But take the paper off. See, just take the paper. I didn't want to bring it up open.
Good Lord. Good Lord. Just look at that. Isn't that beautiful? You know that when you made Once Upon a Time?
When Miss Miles was in Tennessee.
Yes. That was the richest thing I ever saw. I never saw. You know what?
Well, that's the same kind of cake. It's a carrot cake.
Well, I'm going to tell you, if a fella had food that was good and nourishing and satisfying, he wouldn't have to eat so much.
Now, that's just like, see, and I love eggplant parmesan. And in fact, I like eggplants fixed any kind of way. And, but I know I have no business of eating too much of fried stuff. And when you fry eggplant, you got to eat it right now. You know, it's no good cold.
No, not as good.
No, but egg parmesan, you can slice it, you know, and just eat it. Well, it has cheese in it.
Yeah.
It's mozzarella cheese. And, well, I put a couple of eggs in this today. An Italian lady learned me how to make it. You can make it with eggs or you can make it without.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you got a meal when you eat that.
Yeah.
I mean, the eggplant and with the sauce, you know, it and the cheese, that's just a straight meal. So I had two portions of which I shouldn't. I called myself going, I got on the scales and I'm back up.
Yeah.
See, I lost some weight when I was over there with my best.
Yeah.
And now I'm back up to 225. I said, I know I'm going to come down.
Yeah.
I'm going to put myself on a strict diet. But I said, as long as there's parmesan in the house, I can't.
That's right.
Now, see, I had 1 3-minute egg and one slice of plain toast this morning.
Yeah.
A glass of orange juice.
Yeah.
That was my breakfast.
Yeah. Well.
And I drank about a half a glass of milk. Now, if I had just eaten, say, a salad with no dressing, I mean, you know, let it be vinegar, either coast. Now, when I was grating the carrots, see, I bought two big bunches of carrots yesterday, a week ago, to make this cake.
Yeah.
But, Mr. Miles, I was just sick. I really haven't been myself, not since that Bessie passed.
Well, Lord, that you was.
You know, I was just about. I didn't know I was so worn out. And then I got diarrhea. I had diarrhea for a whole week, and I was as sick as I could be. And then my leg started burning, the vein in this right leg, and my leg swole up. So I said, Lord, I've got to finish paying them bills, and I've got to work. That little $150 pallbearer insurance, I haven't heard from them yet. They haven't paid it. See, I went on to the bank, and I drew out $500 and gave it to the undertaker man, just like they give it to me from the bank. So the Social Security gave $255. Well, that helped. Still $187 due. Well, I know I have to pay that $37.31. But I've talked to Chestnut, called twice. And so yesterday I talked to Larry. And he said, well, I don't know what's holding them up. He said, they should have paid that. He said, I said, well, I told Mr. Johnson. I said, he keep telling me about the lady say, allow her a little time. I said, well, you mean by allowing her a little time? I said, I'm best have been gone 2 months. And seem like they are spending the money, or they have spent it, and want time to put it back. Talking about there's so many deaths, I say, well, where are the money? You can't help deaths. You can't keep people from dying. That's why they join it, so when they die, they'd have that much on there. See, I know I have to put $37.31 more to it. See, but I paid $500 down.
Yeah.
I give him $500 cash.
Yeah. I bet that don't happen every time.
I certainly did. And Sonny had his, Bessie was the beneficiary. She had a policy taken out on Sonny. And she was the beneficiary. So he could sign it over for me to be, you know, a beneficiary after she had gone. And he said, and I tell you, if you want to keep it up, you can keep it up or draw the money. Now, I haven't heard anything from that National Standard.
Oh, really?
See, and it was, she had a small insurance with them on herself, which was about $135. Well, that Dr. Crago got to be paid $93 and change. I mean, all of it is on me. I haven't heard from Sonny since he left.
You know, I just figured that he'd be hard to hear from.
And he told me, he said, Cousin Bessie, I'm going to send you. Well, I figure, he said, if I get this insurance money, you know. He said, now what I want you to do is to put your money back. Because, see, I had been spending money before he came or before Bessie passed. And I said, because she had to eat. And when she was in that home, see, she didn't get a check. They took the check out there. She didn't get one.
Yeah.
And when I brought her from out there, the 3rd of June, well, I went out there, and I didn't get the whole check. See, they took out, took all of them, most of that check. And it wasn't enough to pay her insurance or and to buy food and pay her light bill. Well, see, I had to keep.
Well, somebody had to keep all that going.
I had to keep all of it going.
Lord.
Now, his brother promised me that he called me that Monday night. Sonny left that Monday afternoon. He said, well, I'm going to send you some money. He wanted to know how was that best to put away. I said, Calvin, and Bessie was put away decent. I said, I saw to that she was put away decent. Because I figured that I was going to have it to do. She wouldn't do like I asked her to do. She wouldn't let me keep her money or anything. And everybody else could tell her but me.
I don't think anybody could tell her.
The ones who she wanted to handle her money.
Who told her?
The ones who she wanted to handle her money, and that was Buddy Sawyer was one of them. Because God knows if he cashed, she would tell me to endorse him. And Buddy will go cash him for me. Now, before she went in the hospital, not the time that I took her, or that Friday night, which was on the 13th, Leslie and Nettie took her. That Saturday, I had just signed 3 checks. Her Social Security was $103. The welfare were $18. And her daughter-in-law's sister had sent her $10 for Christmas, and she had never cashed a check. Now, Friday, there she gets sick and go to the hospital. She had $37.15.
Yeah.
Now, where did the money go? So when I talked to her and I asked her, and she tell me about, if I tell you, you'll know as much as I do. I said, and I told her, I said, I'm Bessie, you don't have a soul. Not a soul. I said, Nettie is only a cousin. And a second cousin. Because she and Nettie's mother's 2 sisters share, which would make Nettie's mother, not Bessie, first cousin. I see not a soul to come up and do for you but me. I say, now you can trust everybody but me.
Yeah.
Oh, she got hard mad, but I told her about it. And when she left my house, when she came home, God knows I didn't take a penny from her. But she kept on till she got up, climbed up on that couch or chair. She got the drop on me while I was out of the clothesline. Because I had her money to the back of the closet and a pocketbook. Somebody came in.
Yeah, that space you've been.
And I had saved almost $300 for her.
Oh, really?
And she kept on. She got that pocketbook, and she called herself hiding it from me, and I asked her. And then she said, I just got it to get my pills. I said, what pills? I said, now your pill's right there on the table.
Yeah.
But then Buddy would come at 10 o'clock. And then one day she didn't know it. I was right back up. I was going in the bathroom. She had a back turn to the bed. All of my little money just about gone. Buddy would come down there every morning. She would give him money.
Yeah.
So the money left.
Yeah.
And he told Miss Daisy he had never cashed a check. I said, Buddy lied. I said he was cashing her checks before she left my house because she stopped letting me cash them.
Yeah.
So I said it was tough. She had a lot to pray for and to give an account of. I said, but I stuck with her. I want to go home and I can't get this thing settled. Or can't get this insurance or this pallbearer. Let's see, I can pay Dr. Craig so much along. I got to call him tomorrow. Because it was $128 and change. So I gave him $35. So.
Hey! Come on in!
She's
empty.
Call.
She's emptying some water. She got some water from drinking water from over there.
Oh.
She wants to get that out of her car. She needs to come on in here. We'll listen to what you're saying. And
if I had known that, I could have brought you. Of course, I didn't have a jug to put you. Why don't you come down the house and get you some water?
Well, we get it over here at Robert Smith's. You know, at the candy store.
Yeah.
He got that water, and it's not like old-fashioned spring water. It don't taste good. But you see, I have to drink water all day. And
now, you see, I have my own pump. You know? We put down our own pump.
Yeah.
90 feet deep.
Yeah.
So we have very good water.
Oh, you did? 90 feet?
We have very good water.
Yeah. Faye, come in here. We're just talking business.
All right.
She saw that car before she even got out.
Oh, yeah, look who's here.
Hey, didn't you see the car?
Yes, and I kept thinking, who in the world is that?
Yeah, what is that?
Lord, Miss Agnes, what in the world?
My Lord, Miss Agnes.
That's a new one. My Lord, Miss Agnes.
My goodness. Well,
I've been trying to get up here.
And I called you, I'll bet you, 15 times, and I just don't ever hit you. At the right time. Are you working?
Yes, I guess that's where I'd be.
Uh-huh.
Over there to, on the point. Because some mornings, here one while, I'd had to be there at 7:30. See, she went back to school.
Oh.
She had some degrees, she wanted to, get. She said, Bessie, I just want to get them because I feel that she don't know when Mr. Dawes going. Oh, excuse me, I'm too full. Gonna pick up and leave and not give her any money, you know, for support for those kids. And so she said she had to get her a job. She would be able to get her pretty fair job, you know. So she wanted to go back to school. Well, I'd be there from 7:30. But I would be there at 7:30, not going.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it, I got to get up in the morning and call her so she can get up.
Don't tell me.
I do that every morning, 5 mornings.
Well, thanks.
Do you have to call her then?
I was calling her at...
Do you have to call her back to see if she got up then?
No, I think she don't get up that just hard, look. And I told her, I said, look, you people, you better try to wake up, because I can oversleep.
Why, sure.
Because, see, when I go home, I'm either washing or scrubbing or I'll iron or something. And, you know, you get overtired, and when you go to sleep, you just sleep.
Yeah.
Now, one morning I woke up.
You know,
it was 25 minutes to 7. It was 6:30 exactly. When I opened my eyes and I looked at the clock, I said, it can't be 6:30. Because I usually have my bed made at 6:30. So I went onto the telephone and I called her. I said, it's 25 minutes to 7. Now you can, she, and the telephone had rang 3 times. I knew, I said, she's not even out of the bed.
Yeah.
And now she called me. When I called her the other morning, she said, call at 7. I call at 7. First morning, she said, Betsy, would you call me around 6:30? And I looked at her. I said, 6:30? She said, yeah. I said, you want to get up? So, because the kids never know where their clothes are, and I fuss all the time. Put your things, lay them out at night.
Yeah.
Just where, you know, what
sure.
you're going to put on. And all you have to do is get up in the morning and put them on. You won't have to find out, where is my so-and-so, or where is this, or where is the other. I'd be dog if they didn't miss the bus.
I've often.
And I called them at 20 minutes after 6, that morning. So, see, I get up and go in and brush my teeth and get washed and make my bed. Sometimes I make my bed before going to the bathroom. And I came back, and I was dressed and had my breakfast. But I said, oh, I think I'll go out and do something. And then the telephone rang. She said, Betsy? I said, yes. She said, all these darn kids missed the bus. I said, missed the bus? She said, yes. I said, it couldn't have. I said, I called you at 6:20. Oh, I don't know what they was doing. Well, she'd gone back to bed. I know. See, she had gone back to bed instead of making them get dressed.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I never heard of anything like that.
And I wanted to leave at 8:30, and I'm not ready. And I was just wondering, she said, could you take them to school for me? I said, I'd be right over. I just told Tom, I said, well, I guess I'll leave about 10 after 8. I said, she won't be up when I get there. He said, why don't you get an alarm clock? I said, what good is it going to do? I said, she's going to cut it off and go right on back to sleep. So I had to break my neck to get over there. I didn't get out the car. Just rolled up and blowed the horn and turned around. And they got in the car. And
yeah.
There I had to make a go down to Reddick's. I had to drop Eric off at Collier's first. I said, you won't get breakfast this morning. So Eric said he got there time enough for breakfast. Because when the man said 8:27, we weren't even in Reddick's. And then I had to take them on down to North Marin School, the two big girls. Then she told me to call her the next one at 7. Jenna said to me, she said, Bessie, I'd rather you call at 6:30, something like that, she said, because we almost missed the bus this morning. I said, you are just plain lazy. I said, I don't have a soul to wake me up in the morning. I said, don't nobody call me.
And where does she live?
She still live on the point.
Does she?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a pretty good ride of a morning from the point. Clear over there and then clear on back and clear on down to
Reddick. And then there I had to rush like heck to get back so she could leave, you know, to get in the game film.
Yes.
Now, she has small children.
The two smaller ones.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I said, oh, boy. And I said, you know, I'm just as tired as I had been whipped. I said, that's racing. I can't do no rushing racing. It's too much. I said, I'm not a baby anymore, and I'm not getting younger.
Well, I'd say that was a rushing.
Yeah, it really was. Just luck, you know. I wasn't a person that get up early.
Yeah.
And you see, when I get up, I go right on, and I know I don't like to leave things scattered around over the house. I don't like my room left any kind of way. I don't know who gonna have to bring me home, you know. You know how you're going out. I was taught that. You know how you're going out, but you don't know how you're coming back. And that's true.
Yeah.
You know how you're going to walk out this door, but you don't know if somebody's going to have to bring you back in here or not.
That's right.
Yes, I'm sorry to say. Yeah, that's more and more so, ain't it? Yeah.
You're sorry to say. And it is. I mean, you know, some people you see in the streets, but don't follow them home. Because you can't get in that door.
Yeah.
So I get up and get the first thing. I'll read first. Unless I'll have to go to the bathroom mighty bad.
Oh, you read first?
I read first, and then I'll go to the bathroom and brush my teeth. That's the next thing. And get myself washed. And then I'll go back and make my bed.
But you read first?
Yes, I do.
You get right up and start reading?
I lay right there in the bed.
Oh.
And read my, and it's I don't know if you heard the upper room and daily
read the
word.
Upper room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's biblical. And sometimes, you know, it tells you what books in the Bible to find to read and all of that. So if I have the time.
So you've got your stuff right there on your
right
table.
By the bed. And I read.
Well,
if I go to the bathroom at 5 o'clock, I don't go back to sleep. I wake up sometime 4:15 and I can't go back to sleep. If I get up and walk around, it settles it.
Is that right?
And I see I'm awake then all day until that night.
Yeah.
And then I'm ready for the bed when the sun get almost down.
I didn't know that.
Oh, I can go to bed with chicken.
You can.
Well, I didn't know that.
Ms. Miles, I can get in the bed, because just about all last week. What night I stayed up? Was it Thursday night? Is the latest I stayed up in about 2 or 3 weeks. I've been going to bed, getting off my leg.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, I really had it. I've had it.
With that leg?
Well, let me tell you.
Yeah, with this right leg.
So the sun go
it's
down.
It's still swollen now.
The sun go down, you go to bed. I can't go to bed until it gets dark.
Now, you
see. Now, just
don't
as
make
soon
it any different.
Just as soon as it gets dark, I can make it.
Mr. Miles, when I get home, I can think of everything I got to do before I get home. And if I'm not too tired, I'll just keep right on and do it. Because if I once sit down, it settles it.
Yeah.
I've gone home, made me a sardine sandwich and a salad, and washed that plate. I put my sandwich on a paper towel, and I had a little dish and put my salad in.
Yeah.
And I washed the dish, and I went on, ran the water, got in the tub, got in the bed. So Tom wanted to eat, he had to fix the supper, wash the dish. And wash the dishes.
Yeah. Well, when did you eat yours?
I'd eaten.
You eat and then took a bath?
Yes.
I thought maybe you just took it to bed with you.
A sardine sandwich and a salad.
I had me a sardine sandwich. I love sardines.
I do too. But
I love them.
Uh-huh. See, I love sardines and we never have them.
Let me tell you, I bought Miss Daisy some down at the market yesterday. She asked me to get her some sardines.
Uh-huh.
And I hadn't bought any sardines forever.
I had 6 cans for a dollar one here the other day at Winn-Dixie.
Is that right?
And I didn't know what to buy. There was some put up in mustard, and some in tomato sauce, and some in the oil.
Yeah.
But you want them just in the oil, don't you?
Well, that's what I have, just in the oil.
Yeah.
And see, and I take the rye bread,
sardines.
You know, or whole wheat bread.
Yeah.
And I put just barely smear the bread with mayonnaise, just a little. And then I put the sardines on there, and I put lemon juice over.
Oh.
And I put lemon juice over it, and then thin slices of tomato.
Yeah.
And then put the other slice of bread on there.
Yeah.
Then, not tomato. Onion.
Yeah.
Then I cut up this lettuce and tomato and cucumber. And put that's my supper.
And Tom has to get it in.
Well,
he don't like what I have, and I don't like what he has, so I let him fix what he wants. But you see,
going to come down there someday and get his side of all this.
Yeah, so sometime I'll get up, I'll put pinto beans to soak before I go to work. Let them soak all day. And, because one day I had navy beans, this little tiny.
I worked Tom Garden a little bit more. He worked in the yard.
Skeester won't garden. All he do is
let
put
me
around
tell you,
the morning.
I got a tract of land down there. He could put in enough stuff and wouldn't be in trouble at all. That him and me both. If I just had a little help, I'd do it. And it's been ready to plant ever since the middle of September.
Beautiful land.
Beautiful down there. But I'm
gonna tell him. And because you know it makes you cry when you go in the store.
Oh yes.
Well, you tell him because we could have enough for both families, just not have to buy any more vegetables.
Now Leslie gave me a couple of eggplants, and I think where the big one we'd had rested on the ground, I had to cut all of that big part off mostly. You know, it was bad.
Uh-huh.
She's been eating it, eggplant parmesan, Faye. She slices it.
See, it was hot today, I couldn't slice. See, now when it gets cold, I can just slice it up.
Yeah.
And how do you do it?
When it gets cold, I can just slice it.
Yeah.
And just eat it. It's a meal by itself, almost, you know, because you have this Italian lady. Well, everybody I worked for was Italian, except one lady was Jewish, you know, in New York.
Yeah.
Well, how do you get in amongst the Italians?
Oh, well, I get in amongst all of them.
Well, I was in New York off and on when you was there.
You were?
Yes, I was. My headquarters up on 85th Street. I had a place there. The landlady would always let me have a place when I come to town.
85th or 185th?
85th.
Oh, 85th.
Yeah.
You was downtown.
Well, it's not.
You was downtown.
Downtown from 185th.
I worked on 84th Street.
Yeah. Well, you see, long in there, at that time, You had nice places.
Right.
It was nice there. I worked
nice
at 119.
He was right off Riverside Drive.
You was on the west side.
West side.
Mm-hmm.
You had.
I worked over on the west side too, but I had to give it up because that working two jobs, you know, part-time,
yeah,
is too much. And I had to, travel. I had to catch the bus and go from the east side to the west side.
And that's slow business.
And that's slow, and it wears you out.
Yeah.
And sometime it would be 9:30 when I'd get home.
Yeah.
So it was just a little bit too much. And I didn't like riding the subway and getting off at 125th Street and walking on over to my house.
No.
Yeah.
No.
How about you have to walk?
I had to walk to between Lenox and Fifth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Between 127th and 128th.
Yeah.
Right.
Well.
I was on 127th. See, between Lenox and Fifth Avenue.
Yeah.
Well, you had plenty of light walking.
I don't care. I just didn't like walking at night. Of course, it wasn't as bad as it is now.
Oh, no. You know, I can never remember even giving it a thought, day or night, anywhere I ever went in New York, and I'd been from the top of
they
the down
people,
to the bottom.
You, I mean, you could, 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, people be walking on. You think it was 10 o'clock in the day.
Yeah.
Nobody would bother you.
No.
And the stores now, they have to close before the sun go down.
Yeah.
And most of the stores going out of business on 125th Street.
Yeah. All that dope stuff. Now, these Italians you worked with.
I worked in Westchester. See, I lived out there mostly. When Tom and I married, I was working for these people. I told you I worked for 13 years.
Uh-huh.
The Alma was. Now, she was Italian and he was Jewish.
Well, you worked for them 13 years.
I certainly did.
And that started in the middle 30s.
I started working for her in 46.
Oh, 46.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she did. She's not the one that had the restaurant.
No. That was Frank Martin.
Oh, yeah.
And Frank Martin had a restaurant.
Well, I haven't.
I don't know what he was.
I haven't heard the. I haven't heard about the Armors.
No, he had a dress business. He retailed dresses. He had
and that
a shop.
That was out in the country?
No, he had a shop downtown.
But you lived out.
But they live out in Westchester, in Mamaroneck.
Uh-huh.
And that's where you worked all day?
I worked right there for 13 years.
And you lived out there?
I stayed out there.
Oh, didn't you?
I stayed in there. I moved in 57. Now, when Tom and I married, I lived in New York, but I never slept at night hardly. See, I slept in New York and then would go to work in the day,
mm-hmm.
go back to Mamaroneck. I'd travel
yeah.
to and fro. And then she wanted to come to Florida that year, so they had a business in Florida. And she didn't want to leave Bobby there in the house alone, and then there was one boy home, the oldest boy. So she asked Tom and I if we would come back and stay until, you know, they get back. So I stayed 2 years, you know, afterwards. I was working for her all the time, but then we just moved back. But we was in hopes of finding an apartment, but it was just like finding hen teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Couldn't find one.
Well, now, that was a fairly easy life when you was working for her.
No, I had to cook 3 meals a day and had a 3-story house to take care of and wash and iron. I had a hard job. I didn't have no easy job. And I never knowed what it was to go lay down in the day. I mean, see, because I'd have to go up on the 3rd floor to lay down.
Uh-huh.
And to climb those stairs. If the telephone rang, I'd have to come downstairs to her bedroom to answer the telephone.
Yeah.
And if I went down in the basement, I'd have to come upstairs, you know, in the hall. Because they didn't find it. They put a telephone in the kitchen. Well, still, I'd have to go up and downstairs, you know.
Sure.
But I was always busy. Because I never knew what it was. She was very superstitious. She didn't was 13.
Oh, she was?
If she's going to have company, she'd figure 12 people. And then she'd say, oh, no, she said, I have to have 12 or 14. And now that would be on one person.
Yeah.
You know, you got to clean up. You got to get breakfast. And at 7 o'clock in the morning when I'd come downstairs and knock on the boys' door, they know to get up, go in and start to shower and get ready for breakfast, for school. And when they come down, their breakfast would be ready and not have their lunch made.
Yeah.
And it was two of us working at one while. But Lou never got up on time. And I'd have to go right past her room to the bathroom. And she always said, Beth, why didn't you call me? I said, why should I call you? She said, you know you have to get up. I didn't have a clock.
Oh, didn't you?
No, I didn't have an alarm clock. I never had a clock to wake up.
Oh, really?
All I want just to see, what time it is.
You can probably just wake up whenever you set
when, the and mostly when I go to bed, I always say, if I feel like I'm going to oversleep myself, I usually say, Father, let me wake up at 6 o'clock, you know. And I bet you I wake up 5:45 if I don't wake up at 5:30.
Well, it wasn't much. You never saw me at Alma much. You see, that woman you worked for right after the Depression, you see, you saw her all the time, and if she knew anything, you could learn it.
Oh, that, who, Mrs. Alma? Because, let me see.
Miss Miller, whatever you call her.
The one that you...
Martin.
Martin, yeah.
I was with them
Martin,
when the,
Martin,
when the banks
yeah.
all went busted.
When the banks went busted.
I was with them.
I hear that darn bird out here.
That was the one you had to work so hard.
I worked from 5 in the morning until 10 at night on that cement.
Oh.
That was cafe.
That's right.
That's cafe work.
That's what just got you right.
And I said, of course, they wanted me over here at Rogers before, you know, he sold out.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't want no more cafe work. I have trouble enough with my feet and legs.
Yeah.
And cement is starting over me having trouble with my
yeah.
feet.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how they kept that cement so long.
I don't either.
Of course, now, between the counter and the stove, they had slats back there
yeah.
for you to stand on, but it wasn't all over the floor. You wasn't just back of that counter, you know,
yeah.
in this big range all the time.
Yeah.
That's why I have to wear glasses. I ruin my eyes cooking. The heat, you know, and then see the stove, see the reach from here over to the corner of that
yeah.
room. Big ovens, you know, and you got your grills and...
Why, you know... Whenever I open this little oven out here, it fogs up my glasses.
Well, that steam, well, I wasn't wearing glasses then, you know. And all that heat, you know, just hit your eyes. I almost went blind.
I hadn't thought of that.
It does very bad on your eyes.
Well, that caught you before you knew it. You didn't realize at the time, did you?
I didn't know I was doing myself harm.
You just indestructible, you see. You was big and you was strong and you figured nothing could hurt you.
I was just like a jackass.
Yeah.
And now I forget myself, but my legs remind me. Oh, if I want something, I wouldn't. If I tell you to do something, I told Tom Saturday, Friday. Because Friday night, I came home Friday afternoon, and I said, well, I'll catch my breath. I said, I'm going to get up, I'm going to clean the kitchen. Well, he decided he won't eat I said, you go in the kitchen and cook, fix your supper nice. Yes. I said, well, I'll wait till you finish. So he did. So I cleaned the kitchen. I mopped the floor and everything. And I went in. I said, well, I'll just do the bathroom. And I got me a pad, and I went down the pipe of the thing there. I cleaned that off. So I got a wet damp cloth with some Mr. Clean and spick and span. I started wiping the screen off. And I noticed it was pushed out in one corner. I said, tomorrow morning, I said, Tom, I said, when you're fooling around outside, I said, I want you to check that screen in the bath. He hadn't checked it yet, but I'm going to remind him of it. Then I'll get up there and get me a hammer and hammer it in myself.
There's always a lot of little things.
But that's what I say. You know, a man works from sun to sun. You know, but a woman's work is never done.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get through. You just stop.
Yeah. Well,
now, when you come in from chasing them cows out there, you through.
Yeah.
All right, Ms. Miles has to come home. She got to fix supper.
Yeah.
Then she got to wash dishes. She got to mop or she got something to do.
Yeah.
And then she doesn't get through. She just stops.
Yeah. Well, you're speaking about, I'm Ms. Miles. I do a lot of that myself. I get tired of that sweeping business.
He washes the dishes and sweeps, and you see it.
But I get tired of that sweeping.
Well, Tom will wash the dishes, but he'll never wash out the sink.
No.
He'll get the crumbs out. When he gets the crumbs out, the sink is clean.
Yeah.
So, you see,
all right.
I like to scrub the sink.
Bessie, where did you get this typewriter?
Jimmy Lee, you know, gave it to me.
How far back was that?
Oh, they gave it to me, about a couple of years ago. Because you can't find a key for that thing. That's me.
No.
Now, I went to the Royal place, and he said, it needed an arm?
Yeah.
And,
That's all it needs, just a little arm.
Well, what about the key? You gotta have that key.
Key's in there.
Oh, you put a key in?
Well, it's already in there. I thought the key was in there. Is the key out?
Key is a Z.
Is it out?
Yeah.
Well, I thought just the arm was off.
Uh-huh.
I didn't look at it that close.
Yeah.
But he looked all over town looking for, trying to find something to do.
It's a Royal, right, am I?
Yeah.
Well, that's where I went up on North Main Street.
Yeah.
I guess they're still there. It's before you get to 8th Avenue.
Yeah.
On the west side of the street.
Yeah.
And I should have told him to go ahead and fix it, because he said it would be $25.
Yeah, you can buy a new one for that.
They'll buy me a new one, get $25.
Yeah.
You said that would include the cleaning and the arm and this Z and something else.
Yeah.
Well, the ribbon.
He going to fix you up. How much do you use a typewriter?
I just learned to type when I was with the, I learned myself. What I do know, sitting up there using the kids' typewriter when I was with the Almos. You know what? Because my fingers is getting so bad, and I said, well, if I get me a typewriter, I can type it all, you know. Because that arthritis, you see, this finger's getting crooked, and I'm in hopes they don't. He's too. Well, you see the thumb.
Well, you can, it'll do it. You can do it. I learned myself. All I know is what I picked up. Of course, I ain't much of a typist.
except I type all the time.
So you should be pretty good if you type up.
Well, you'd think so, but I'm not. I'm pretty rough. I just go look at his fast.
Oh,
if I hit the right key, it's all right, but no, it's all right.
Fast, he's fast. Not always correct.
Well, now that's sick. The way the typists go, boy, they can just rattle it off.
Yeah, but they all are accurate. All these, yeah, they you can tell by the way they hold the hands whether they're going to be accurate or not.
Yeah, they say you're not supposed to hold your hand down. You know, the heel of your hand.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They're supposed to be up. So to say. But I hold mine any kind of way I want to because nobody can do it but me. And I'm just with myself.
Yeah. I ought to, you know, people don't use these old manual typewriters anymore. They all got electrical. Do you know that? And if you go to an office, you see, unless you can use an electric typewriter, and I can't, you can't find anything to write a postcard on.
No. Like I tell them when I go to the store, they say, well, ask for a large size shoe or dress or something. Well, we don't care that. I said, don't they know it's large people in the world? They're all not skinny.
They're all not skinny.
Well, you know, I have the same trouble, except I'm skinny, long, and things won't fit me. Just average things won't fit me. How do you find the things that you need?
I mostly order my clothes from Roman.
Oh yeah.
From New York. They specialize in large size.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, they sent me a new book. I got it. What is this? Today's Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Thursday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, my godchild gave me this dress Easter a year ago.
That's nice. I like that.
And she gave my sister one. She figured, you know, she had to give my sister one. I say, well, you don't feel that way. She said, oh, Godmother, she said, it just don't feel right for me to give you and don't give Miss Maggie. I said, but you can't do it. You can't afford it. And you're not supposed to. I said, you have 5 children, you know. So she gave me this dress. I mean, all I do is just put it on.
Is that right?
And it's so becoming.
Right.
She went to a place they called Jefferson in West Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be cheap, but I don't think we're cheap at all.
You've been there?
I passed there. Now, the prices is on there. You can't say they're cheap.
Yeah.
You can't call Fields cheap anymore. Fields and Roebuck aren't cheap anymore.
No.
Oh, no.
Ooh. No, Sears don't handle cheap stuff much anymore.
So when I'm walking around there looking for a dress and I see something I like, all right, well, it's too small.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I go to the other stores, it's the same thing. Well, I can just look in the catalog if I look in Roman's book and I see something I like.
Yeah.
I order it, and then all I do is put it on.
Yeah. If you don't like it, you can send it back.
That's right. I just put it on. I have a charge account with them. I've had it for years.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Where does Nettie buy her clothes? She has pretty clothes.
She makes it.
Oh, does she?
Oh, yeah, she sews.
All of her clothes she mostly makes.
Well, I see.
Then sometimes she, when she gets a chance, she always sews.
I see her in the pressing club there, and she's always got something. I never notice what it is.
Well, see, she does all the alterations.
But if she runs out of alterations, she can just go ahead
and
do her own.
Now, you see, when Leslie was in the hospital, he put the machine over in the house before he went to the hospital. So she didn't have to go in that shop for anything unless she was giving out clothes that they had belongs to people.
Yeah.
It was clothes. And she sold it to the house.
Oh, yeah.
Now her sister that passed in Philadelphia, Lucille, we were the same years children. See, she worked at a factory. She had all kinds of material.
Oh.
And she sold, oh boy. Nettie don't sew anything like Lucille sews.
Yeah.
But every one of Cousin Meg's children sewed.
Is
yeah.
that right?
Every one of them.
And Cousin Meg didn't sew.
Oh, yes, she did.
Oh, did she?
She made everything her children wore, and she did too.
Well, I figured she just
no,
worked.
No.
She just worked outdoors.
Mm-hmm. She sit there and made everything those kids wore.
Huh.
That's where they got it from. And they're not a one ever taken a lesson.
Well, what do you know?
Nobody taking a lesson.
Well, you know, that's the way it ought to be. It ought to just come easy, ought
and
it?
I say, well, you know, I'd just love to learn to sew just enough to make my own clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she made the cutest dress. I think Gladys had the pattern. It's a red and white dotted Swiss. And then a white dotted Swiss. White, I think it's has a little, one is the red background
mm-hmm.
with the white dots.
Mm-hmm.
The other is that white dotted dots in the, but anyhow, the way it's made, it's cut kind of triangle, you know, and it comes together.
Uh-huh.
Once you got it come together, anybody would swear it was silver.
Is that right?
Because now Mamie, her slacks, she usually made with shorts and everything. But now Mamie, some lady that Mamie worked for is very small, and Shelby's giving Mamie something. And they fit Nettie to a T, so she gives them to Nettie.
Oh, so she has all sorts of sources.
She said, oh, not me gain, not me get fat, because I can't get nothing to fit me.
Well, she, yeah.
I used to send her clothes from New York, would be given to me.
Oh,
and,
really?
Because Ms. Wright was small. I couldn't wear one thing of hers. Now, I looked like I could wear her shoes, but they was too tight. And she had brand new shoes. She gave me brand new shoes. All she did was just bring them out the store.
Mm-hmm.
Bags and all. And I told her, now, Miss Wright, I can't wear these. I said, but my sister can wear them. I said, if you don't mind. She said, that's as long as somebody can use them. So I sent my sister a pair of $18, and just say $19 shoes,
uh-huh.
brand new,
uh-huh.
plus the other shoes. But and she lived in those $18 shoes. She said, best thing was the comfortable shoes. I say, I cost
yeah.
the most, you know, ever had. I said, you've never had that pair of shoes cost that much money. So, you know, we always kid each other. Yeah.
Well, you know what? You know what? There's nothing like getting a pair of shoes that's easy on your feet. But you know, I found it ain't always the price that makes a difference. I bought shoes at Jim Fields. Just the cheapest shoes you can buy. I guess Italian shoes. You know, they call them the cheapest ones you get now.
Them Italian shoes cost you like mad now, though.
Well, let me tell you, that's not one I've been wanting. Yeah.
Now, it's a Jew in West Palm Beach. Now, my mother and sister gave me money for my birthday. See, they didn't know what to get me. I said, well, I want me a pair of white shoes. The shoes I had on the same day that we buried in Bessie. And, we went in the mall, and this man was waiting on me, and he said, what size you want? I said, a 10B. He said, no, you don't want a 10B. I said, I do want a 10B. He said, no, he said a bee is wrong.
Oh, really?
He said, now your toes have no business showing up through your shoes. So he said you want to speak. And he told me then, you know, he said, you always get a 10 feet. He said, because that third toe, you know, seems to be a little longer. He said, and if that shoe is a little short, that make it, you know, tucker back.
Yeah.
And it's just like a glove.
You just been getting the wrong number.
Instead of getting a 10 feet, I've been getting 10 B's. Now, these are 10 B's, but they're just like a glove. I got to have some more black shoes. But these are so comfortable.
Now, Ms. Wright, she wasn't Italian.
Yes, she was. She was Italian. But her husband was American.
Oh, I see.
He's Californian. She was Italian. And I worked for her sister, was Italian. I worked for her sister-in-law. Was Italian, and her brother. And then this Mrs. Desio was Italian. And I worked for one, which was a cousin to the Wrights. And it was the funniest name, and the hardest name, Miss Rivetuso. When Miss Wright told me, I said, well, couldn't they find another name? So she just laughed. She said, well, Master, couldn't you find another name to give her husband? Rivetuso. But she was Italian. And I had one Jew, Anita Rabinowitz. And boy, that was the only woman that I ever worked for. I could wear her shoes, her clothes. But now I had the bus line. She didn't have a bus, but boy, she had big hips. She was just big all around, all except through here. And I have dresses now hanging up in my closet. And I have a beautiful, this, what do you call this, this black velour coat that she gave me. It's a little big through here a little bit, but when I get it snapped, you know, it doesn't show that much. I said, well, I found one person I can wear their clothes. Everybody else I had to give them away. And now, and her husband was so big, he had to have everything he wore made. And I laughed until I cried down in the basement. I was laundering on Saturday. And his pajamas. When I held them up, I cried. I said, well, if this isn't a clown suit. You know how the clown suits, you know, how they wear them all together? That's just the way his pajamas look. The pants. Not the coat, the pants.
Oh, yes.
She said she weighed 250, but she weighed more than 250. And he did, too. She had a dress shop on Mamaroneck Avenue.
Of all people, they have a dress shop.
So she asked me one day, she called the house, and I answered, and I said, the Rabinowitz resident. She said, oh, hell, Bessie, don't be so damn formal. Just say hello. I laughed, so... She said, you're a little bit too damn formal. Just say hello. And whose resident it was.
Yeah.
Hell, that's going to be so damn formal. Just say hello.
Well, now, all them people you worked for, they was easy to work for. You never got any bad eggs or anything.
All of them was very nice. And that I get cards from all of them just about every Christmas.
Oh, really?
Is that something?
Is that
right?
You write them?
Every Christmas we exchange cards.
Yeah. That's why you need a typewriter.
I go have to write on typewriter on a copy of Christmas card.
Well, I didn't know.
The envelope I'd have to write on, because that's right, the name of. Now, I said I worked for very nice people, that Mrs. Desio. Everything, I didn't care. I had worked, and I worked hard when we say we was gone. When we bought that land, I used to do day's work. See, I stopped cooking when I stopped for the almost.
Oh, did you?
I stopped cooking and was doing day's work. And I went to the Desios twice a week. And I'd get through. And I'd sit down and serve a party. I'd get home by 2:30 in the morning. They'd take me home. I worked hard in my days. Like, I'm telling you, I mean, when I'd clean and wash and iron, clean the kitchen, and then I was down. Of course, she did most of the cooking down in the basement, because she had huge big stove and sink and Frigidaire and everything down there. And the laundry had a TV down there. Of course, I miss my stories now, because the TV, I can't get Channel 2 or Channel 20, either one, over there. I don't know what they did to the TV.
Over where?
Over there at the Dolls. You can only get Channel 5. And I've lost out on my stories, and I'm just lost. I said if I had me a small TV, I'd take it and watch my stories.
Well, let me tell you, you know that one you had down there that I of mine, I inquired about that. And I didn't know it. I paid $137.50 for it. I didn't know I paid that much. And now they have gone up to $167.50, and they're made out of tin now, and that is made out of wood.
Isn't that something?
You know, just the keys. Mm-hmm. But that still makes
that one difference. Was tin that the Dolls had. I don't know what they paid for it, but it's exactly, you know, like it. That, what do you call it? With the clock in there, and old. And it started up and everything, and Mr. Dawes took it. I said, oh, I could murder him.
Well, I tell you, those little things are sure are handy, but you've got to be, for them to do very well, you've got to be moderately close to the stations. Unless you got a great big antennae. Do you have a big antennae?
What do you mean? Over the Dolls?
Yeah. And over at your house?
Oh, yes, house is high.
You got a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yours is all right at your house.
It's 4 feet.
Yeah.
I see.
Now, do you have your own machine there?
No, not in my room. We have it in the living room.
Yeah, but
see, and there's some. See, Tom like them old shoot 'em up pictures, and
yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, it's enough of that going on without watching it on TV.
Not watching it, yeah.
You see how those nasty men did this girl? It was so cruel.
Yeah.
Where she was walking to get gasoline, and they made her pour that gasoline on her and then set her afire.
Good Lord.
In Jersey.
Good Lord.
I said, it is nothing. I wish that was a judge. There wouldn't be a trial.
No.
They don't need a trial. And the man said on TV, he said, now, why he think this happened. And then the next night, a man died of the same way. And they seemed to think these same three fellows did it. And they were colored men. I said, I wished I was a judge.
Yeah.
Well, you sure don't need to see anything.
You don't need to show anything like that, because this younger generation is coming up on a lot of environment as it is. And when they sit down and watch all of this stuff on TV and how to enter somebody's house,
yeah.
You see, they don't know. They're teaching the kids how to do it.
Yeah, and just giving them an example to go by.
So this white fellow was on here saying why he thinks this happened, because it happened the day before somewhere over in Europe. A girl was burned to death like that. And, you know, they just figured these boys saw it and just tried it. Now, this girl was walking because she ran out of gas, and she's walking to get gas. I said, oh, how cruel can a person get?
Where did Nettie get such good taste? She wears nice clothes. If she makes them, she still wears nice clothes, doesn't she?
Yes, she does. She's always neat as a pin.
Uh-huh.
Anytime you see her.
Where'd she get all that good taste?
Well, that whole family was like that.
Is that right?
Her mother was spotless.
Yeah.
Aunt Hannah was, she was old, but she's just as spotless as she could be.
Oh, was she? Aunt Hannah?
Tom says I'm too, I try to be too clean or too nice or something. I'm funny, you know, in the house. And now I like to get up in the morning when it's cool and work. I can clean this whole house before I put my clothes on.
Oh, really?
I can. That's just the way I like to work when it's where I can be comfortable.
Yes.
Now Friday night I just pulled my uniform off and got into my slip, you know, had on my underclothes, and I worked up a breeze. But I was almost fall out when I finished.
Yeah.
Cause when I get through with them two little devils, I've had a day's work.
Yeah.
Oh, I imagine.
Yeah.
I imagine.
2 and 4, and that little 2-year-old. Oh. If you don't make them go to sleep, boy, you got to spank. Now the way I can make them go to sleep. I said, all right. Now you get up on the couch. Now, they'll get there, but it's the cutest thing to see it. And she can talk as good as the one that's 4 years old. And I'm trying to break her up from dirtying on her clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't do it by myself because they won't make her do it. See, if they would make her go sit on the pot, it wouldn't be hard.
Yeah.
But now for me to make her go, she won't go. She'd hold it until after I leave and then put it in the pants and then go tell them. See, and I tell her, now that's just why Bessie spank you. And then she said, no, Bessie, don't spank me. Don't spank me, Bessie. Don't spank me. I said, I'm going to spank you. I said, I told you to tell Bessie you want to go to potty. I said, now all you have to do is go in there and pull your panties down and sit on your potty. I duke it in my pants. I duke it in. Now you see, she need a spanking. Because she can tell you.
Yeah.
And she's 2 years old. But you think she was 4, and Ellen was 2.
Yeah.
And she can beat them all, and when she get ready, boy, can she be a devil.
Oh, yeah.
And I get around there, and I get the brush, I get the belt, and I get them all.
Yeah.
You have to when you take care of them.
So I said, all right.
Now that's down on the point.
I'm way down. The last house, the house that way back.
Yeah.
The two story house.
You like it on the point.
Yeah, I like down there, but I can't stand them snakes.
Oh, the old house down there. The one
I didn't go in the laundry room until all last week. Not until this. Did I go in there Tuesday? Yes, I went in too. I stood to the door, pushed the door back, took the rake, and pushed the stuff back. Because Tuesday, a week ago, I'd been going to and fro in there. And I guess in between of me putting the clothes in the machine or dryer or taking them out. And I know the snake shed wasn't there. Because I had clothes piled there, you know, and I would have seen it. And I turned around to come out, and there this thing, and I could just see him, Miles just looked like coming out of that shed. And he was a big rascal. He was big around is that Supreme bottle there.
This thing here.
Oh, what way he went, I don't know. But I got out, I had chills. I was just pure sick. I said, Mr. Stars, you got snakes back there in that utility room. She said, oh, Bessie. I said, oh, yes. She said, what? I said, his shed back there. I said, he shed in between me coming, you know, going in and out. I said, now what way he went, I don't know.
Upstairs or down?
Now, I don't know if he come out and went in her sewing room where all she got so much of junk in there.
Uh-huh.
See?
You would never just go ahead and pick him up and get
no,
him
I out. Wouldn't. Not know it. And she went in there the other day and picked up one. She said it was a small one. Then she said to me Monday, she said, Bessie, you're right. There is a snake in there. I said, but did you think I was wrong when I know what a snake shed is? She said, she didn't tell me she had picked this one up. But the middle girl told me. She says, Mommy picked up snake. I said, picked him up. She said, yeah. I said, oh. I said, I see where I'm going to leave this point. Now, that was two, see, because the men came to, oh, they're going to do some work in there. And I asked him to move the snake shed. I thought the man moved the thing, and I went back there and looked there. The snake shed was laying up there looking at me like the snake was just had his head coming out. So slammed the door. Didn't go back in there. But somebody, Miss Dawes or the children or something, went and covered that over. And then the next day, here's a fresh one closer to the door.
It was.
It,
they got way of getting in there.
Oh, yes. The back door, the flow, the door don't come down to the floor like this, and it don't close tight up to the top. It like just about that much, the bottom and top.
Oh, Lord.
So they can crawl in under there near that water.
Good Lord.
Water tank, hot water tank.
Good Lord.
And you see, she has a lot of boxes.
Uh-huh.
And when they pull things out of those boxes, they don't put them back. They just leave them all down on the floor. And
well,
I saw a little baby when it was in there Friday.
Yeah.
I started to pick the darn thing up, but didn't know what it was. And I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah.
Because I had taken the rake, you know, and raked all of these, pushed the things back up under the table.
Yeah.
So I could see where I was putting my feet. Because just where they, oh, it was closed, it's in the her sewing room, it's about 6 or 7 piles of clothes on the floor. They need washing. And where the kids had changed their beds, there was a pile of bath towels and there were blankets and spreads. It was 3 piles of clothes in there. Well, I said, well, now, I'd like to get this floor clear so I can see where I'm putting my feet. And I saw this little black thing laying on a curb by, and she had taken the things out of the basket that I left in the machine Friday. And they didn't fold them, they just left them in the basket. And so when I came back, this thing had moved, had gone. I said, now that was a snake.
Well,
she's going to be looking for me. I done told her she's going to have to come to my house and get her chair. And I mean it.
Well, do you reckon it's just an old harmless chicken snake?
There's no chickens around there.
Well, or oak snake, whatever you call it.
Oh,
you know?
He's a snake, Mr. Miles. I don't care what he is.
You don't care what kind he is.
No, he's just a plain snake.
Well, you know them old oak snakes. You just find them anywhere. I've seen them up there, right up there, upstairs on the top step of the stairs.
Inside the house?
Inside the house, just laying there. I sure have. And how he got there, I don't know. In the house.
You know, I keep all of those screens fastened.
Well, I do too. Now.
You did better before this.
Well, you know, you don't want them in the house.
And this,
I don't want them no place. Not.
And this little trailer out there, that door, it's always tempting for them when they're working in there just to leave the door open. And I tell them, keep that door shut unless you want some visitors to come in there. Because you see, it's warm in there. And they'll just...
See, now they're looking for a winter home.
Yeah.
And Sarah just died laughing. She came down to my house last Saturday, I think it was. And just looked like to me, as it, you know, I couldn't get them snakes out of my mind or my system. And I was just sick. And my leg was giving me a fit. So she said, oh, Bessie. I said, I haven't been worth 2 cents. Not since I saw the snake sheds. I said, I tell you the truth. I said, I don't feel up to par, no way. I said, and the snakes just made it worse. She said, snakes? I said, yes. She said, well, maybe they're looking for a winter home. I said, they have one. They don't have to look. So Tom was laughing, too. He said, oh, they won't hurt you. I said, I don't care. He's a snake. I said, if you're afraid of something, you're just afraid of it. That's all. I ran out in the streets in my underclothes once. The snake was in the house.
But you never got anything like that up the country up there in New York.
There were snakes up there.
Is it?
Yeah. You see, out there in Mamaroneck, it's rocky, you know.
Yeah.
One day I laughed at myself. It was a bush hanging over the wall down the driveway. And I couldn't see him, but this little green leaf every now and again, as it was wiggled like that, I was looking out the kitchen window. What a snake. And it wiggled again. I said, don't tell me that's a snake. And I'm just a Mr. Armour used to laugh at me all the time because he used to sneak down. And say, I'd either be talking back to a store, or he said, be talking to myself. So I said, I'm going to see. So I went down in the basement, and I looked through the peephole, you know, the window. And it did like that again. I said, my father, it is a snake.
A little garter snake.
No, it wasn't a snake. It was just a leaf.
Yeah,
a
leaf.
Just a leaf, but the way he was moving, just like a snake. Now, I had been going to catch the train, and you could see where somebody ran over a snake. And when he lived on Jefferson Avenue, there was a girl next door. She planted a lettuce, and she had a little garden and everything there. So she said, she's going to bring me some lettuce once. She said, I tell you, Bessie, you know, I brought in some lettuce, and she said, all the lettuce snakes. I said, lettuce snakes? She said, yeah. I said, you mean to tell me the snakes was in the lettuce? She said, I put them in the sink, and she said, they just started crawling out. And I started to say, please don't bring me any.
And I never heard anything like that.
Uh-uh.
And they were about that long.
Uh-huh.
They weren't worms.
You never had any trouble with that knee until you went to New York.
That's where I first started this trouble, with my knee.
Was that,
on that kind
pretty of soon after you got there?
No, I had been there quite a while. Now, I don't know how in the tarnation. Now, sometime, I tell you the truth, you know, when you stand up, sometime look like you're kneecap get out of place, and if you move your knee a certain way, it'll get back in joint. And I really believe that's how I did that.
Yeah.
If it didn't happen the time I fell. But I know it started giving me trouble after I fell. But then it always seemed like my kneecap was too far this way. It looked like to me if I twisted a certain way, it would go back in place.
Oh.
Because you see, my I had a cousin, Nettie's cousin, was the same way. She'd walk and you'd hear her and her knees just popping.
Oh.
She'd be slipping.
Yeah.
Well, now that's just the way I
am. Yeah, I know what it is. Well, and that's the way it was with you. Mm-hmm. Well, now, you just didn't simply fall on that.
I fell on my knees.
You didn't just fall from standing on the ground. You was getting out of the bus.
I had gotten off. I was off of the bus, and the bus had pulled off. And you see, the sidewalk was uneven.
Yeah.
And when I turned to go, you know, step up on the sidewalk, well, I stumped my foot.
Yeah.
And I started to run, and it was downhill, like.
Yeah.
And when I couldn't stop, I fell. When I fell right on my knees.
Yeah.
But there was a guy at a filling station. It was raining. And he had on a yellow slicker, the hat and the coat. Now, maybe he didn't see me. But he didn't even come near me. I couldn't get up right away.
Yeah.
Then I figured, I said, oh, I guess he said it's just another drunk woman, you know. But when I got up, it was a little stream of water there. And I just leaned on that banister. You see, it unnerved me, and I just vomited like a dog. See, it unnerved. It looked like everybody.
There's so much
in my
pain.
Body.
It was hurting.
This looked like all of my nerves was upset.
Mm-hmm.
And I never paid it any attention. See? And just by working, and I always worked on my knees.
And you went on and walked on it.
Yeah. And I worked on my knees.
Even after that?
Even here. When I came here, I'd have a pillow. But then I couldn't put it so certain way I had to get on my knee that thing would hurt. So I had to stop doing my kitchen floor and buy a mop.
Yeah.
Because I always did my floor on my knees and my bathroom floor. And when I had to stop, and stop using the mop.
Yeah.
But now you went, how soon was it you went to the doctor?
When I got so I couldn't walk hardly. The same Mr. Oz. I was working for her. See, now when I was working for Mr. Merck's.
That same, which one was it?
Merck's, when I was working for Merck's.
No, I mean, wait.
When I went to the doctor?
Yeah.
The same lady I'm working for now. See, Miss Merck's had passed. I used to put her in the wheelchair sometime and, you know, just walk her. And if I could just walk so far, and then that knee would start hurting.
Yeah.
And I'd have to turn around and go back. And we would sit. And she used to come, you know, get on the couch and do like that for me to come to her.
Oh, you mean you didn't go to the doctor with that until you got down here?
I didn't even think it was that bad. I had known, I would have gone.
All that time. And all that time he was paining you.
Mm-hmm. But not bad.
Not bad.
See, that's just like here the other week. I had diarrhea so bad, and I was sick. And at night, I took some Pepto-Bismol. And I said, well, it will check diarrhea. And I had a full bottle that I took from old Aunt Bess's. So Tom had something in a bottle. And maybe I didn't shake it up good enough. But boy, I didn't sleep night nor day hardly. With this diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't eat. And I was scared to drink water. And I wonder what could I do to, you know, for binding, like, you know. I said, well, if it does just keep on, I said, I'll go to the doctor. But now this night I took that Pepto-Bismol and I kind of went in the bathroom that morning. And I don't know what made me look in the mirror and I did that. And my tongue was as black as my hair. Just as black as it could be. I had heard Tom up in the living room and I thought he was still in the living room because he had the hall door closed. And his room door was closed too. I said, Tom! He said, what? I said, where are you? He said, I'm here in the room. I said, I thought you was up. He said, no. So I pushed his door open and I snapped his light on. I said, look at my tongue, how black it is. I said, look at my tongue. But boy, he got scared stiff. But I didn't get scared. He said, Bessie, you better go to the doctor. You better go see about yourself. You thinking about going to work. You better go see about yourself. Go to the doctor. I said, well, I didn't brush my teeth yet. I said, when I brush my teeth, I said, I'm going to brush my tongue. And if it don't come off, I'm gone. But as, you know, in brushing my tongue, it came off. But that, the bristle on that brush was just as black as it could be. And I can't understand. I said, well, I had a half a glass of milk last night and took this Pepto-Bismol. That's all I had.
I never heard anything like that, Bessie.
Nettie said, when I told her, she said, B, you didn't go to the doctor? I said, and your tongue was black? I said, no. I said, I've been watching it all day. It's pink again. I said, Nettie, I said, wasn't any use in me. I said, it didn't make sense for me to give a doctor $10 for him to tell me to take a toothbrush and brush my teeth off, cut my tongue off.
Yeah.
I said, I thought I'd try that first.
Yeah.
And if it didn't come off, then I was going. I said, but it came off. So she said, oh, shucks. She said, girl, I'd have went to the doctor as soon as I looked in the mirror. And she said, now, you had diarrhea from Tuesday? And then I said, at last, I said, talking about 24-hour virus. I said, this was a 48-hour virus.
Well,
oh, but boy, that thing, it
well,
did me up.
Don't give me any of that 24-hour virus. I don't care for it.
No.
Oh, no.
This wasn't no 24. This was longer than any 24 hours. Let me go home now.
Well,
go by and say hello to Miss Daisy.
Yes. I tell you, this is the most beautiful thing over here.
It's full of toothpicks.
Yeah.
That's to keep, you know, I was trying to keep it from sticking.
Do you suppose I could take it out of this plate and give it to you? I don't believe I can.
Oh, I can get the plate sometime.
Huh?
I can get it.
Well.
You can leave it down to Miss Daisy, or else leave it in her house when you go by.
Yeah, I'll come by.
I get home, Tuesday is the, I work late on Tuesday, but I'm home every day. I get home, after the children come home from school, then I come home.
And you, what days are you home, Tuesday?
No, every day except Tuesday. I get home, well,
I see.
Sometime the bus gets there by 3:30, and again it's about 10 minutes before. Well, the children got to tell me what happened, and everything was happening in school. Sometimes I have to get a little rough with Eric and Dina. No, so
you can leave when they come home from school.
Oh, yeah, I leave. You see, because the two bigger girls are there.
I see.
And she'll soon be home afterwards.
Oh, this is so beautiful. So you're going by Miss Daisy's?
What you going to do, send that piece?
Let me send her a little piece.
It's yours. Okay.
I hate to part with any of it, but she loves it, so.
I told her when I fix something that would look like to me, because.
This is an awful lot of cake. Have you got any at home?
Look, don't worry about me.
Oh.
I made banana bread the other day.
Oh, boy.
And I think I took a piece, took two slices to work, and I ate one.
Bessie, I'm I just sort of worried about you. If you didn't, if that knee didn't start hurting you till you come down here, I feel better about you up there in New York. And when you was working, it didn't hurt you so bad.
Well, you know, now when I'm off of my legs, they feel pretty good.
Oh, this is one of those carrot cakes, guys.
But you didn't have so much pain in it when you was up there in New York.
No, I tell them all this, either that or I caught a lot of cold in it. You know, getting out there in that sleet and snow and
up there,
whatnot, going to and fro to work. As I got so much coal in my legs.
So it started up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, if it wasn't for that, you'd be just about as good as you.
If it wasn't for my knee, if my knees didn't hurt me, I'd be in tip-top shape. And I'm thankful that I'm no worse off than I am.
Well, I know, but your age ain't hurting you anything. It's, you oughtn't to have too much to bear up.
I shouldn't have too much to bear. Hey, the Rick.